Okay, so we are learning Shmuel Aleph, and we're at the beginning of Parak Chaf Hei, chapter 25. And the last chapter had the famous story where basically David is hiding in a cave, and Shaul goes into the cave to go to the bathroom, and David's men say, "Here's your chance, kill Shaul, you know, he's yours." And David says, "I can't. He's the Mashiach Hashem. He's the anointed one of Hashem. How can I do that?" But what David does do is he goes and he cuts off a corner of Shaul's robe, and then he after Shaul gets up and goes out, David comes out and shows it to him. And he says, "Look, you know, I could have killed you, and I didn't. And now you see, I'm not trying to kill you. You know, I don't have anything against you." And Shaul, you know, is forgiving, and he says, "You're right, you know, you're a tzaddik, you're the best, you know." And then he says, "And you're gonna be king, and just promise me," Shaul says to David, "that when you become king, that you won't destroy my descendants, that you'll let them live, etc." So everything seems to be, you know, nice and good between Shaul and David. But then as we continue now, we're going to see that somehow, Navi doesn't really tell you how or why, but it just snaps back to, once again, Shaul is hunting David again. The Medrash says, I think we mentioned it last week, that after they left, so then Shaul's men, like Avner and others, said, "Oh, you know, you think he really could have killed you? He couldn't have killed you. If he would have killed you, then as soon as he came out of the cave, all of us, you know, you, me and your entire army, we would have killed him. He wasn't like having mercy on you, and this was just a way to get out of the predicament he was in. But it doesn't mean anything." And that's what the Medrash says. That turned, I guess, Shaul's mind back again, and Shaul is once again on the hunt for David. Okay. Parak Chaf Hei begins. Vayomas Shmuel Vayikavtu Chol Yisrael Vayisbeduva. And Shmuel died, and all of the Jewish people gathered, and they eulogized him. Vayikberuhu Beveso Barama, and they buried him in his house in Rama. That's where Shmuel lived. I don't know if he was actually in his house, but I guess on his property more likely. Vayakam David, and David got up. Vayered El Midbar Paran, and he went down to Midbar Paran. Now, let's just read one more pasuk just to introduce the next topic. It says, "Ve'ish b'ma'on u'ma'aseyu b'karmel." There was a man in Ma'on, which according to most Mepharshim is just the name of a city, u'ma'aseyu b'karmel, but his work was in a different place, was in Carmel. "Ve'ish gadol me'od," he was very great. Rashi says he was rich, as we see, as the pasuk goes on to describe. "V'lotzon shloshes alafim ve'alaf izim," he had 3,000 sheep and he had 1,000 goats. "V'hi b'gizozet tzono b'karmel," and it was when he was shearing his sheep in Carmel. "V'shem ha'ish Naval," his name was Naval. "V'shem ishto Abigail," and his wife's name was Abigail, etc. So we're now going to be introduced to Naval. Now, just to give you spoiler alert, just what's going to happen with Naval. So basically what we're going to see is David is going to ask Naval for some food. He's going to send some messengers to ask Naval for food. Naval's going to turn him down. David's going to not be happy with this. He's going to want to kill Naval. Naval's wife, Abigail, is going to intervene and prevent David from killing Naval, but ultimately Naval will die. You know, Hashem is going to take Naval's life just 10 days after this whole event. David will marry Abigail, and that's...
So the same Abigail who becomes, like, David's
wife.
Yeah. Of his life?
I think that's a different. Her name was Avishag, I think. Avishag, I'm pretty sure.
At the end,
yeah. Yeah, I think so. Avishag Ashunamis, I think. Yeah. Yeah, no, this was like, Abigail is the real deal. She's a Neviah, the Gemara says. She was a prophetess. She was a tzedekes. And we'll see how she, even in dealing with the situation, she deals with it very carefully. her husband is a big Rasha as well, as we'll see. It wasn't the best marriage. Now we just have to understand that's going to be the story. Let's go back to Pasuk Aleph now. Vayama Shmuel. So it says, and Shmuel died. And that leads into this story. So why are we inserting Shmuel's death over here? So the Radak actually says it has more to do with the last parak than this parak, more to do with Shaul and what happened with Shaul and David in the cave than it does with Nabal. The Radak says that Shmuel didn't die until his nevuah was fulfilled. He had anointed David in secret, and he had prophesied that David would be the next king, and it wasn't until now that Shaul admitted to David, as he did at the end of the last parak, in Pasuk. Yeah, in Pasuk Chaf Aleph, in the last chapter, he says, "Hinei yadati ki maloch timlo," I know that you're going to be king. And so now that Shaul has admitted to this, so that's more of a fulfillment of Shmuel's prophecy, and now Shmuel is ready to pass on. The other idea that's relevant here is, I mentioned the Medrash's approach to why all of a sudden Shaul is chasing David again, because his men turned him in. Is Avner said, David doesn't, he doesn't deserve to live. He really didn't save your life. He really couldn't have killed you, etc. But the Malbim just says the different idea that before Shmuel's death. So Shmuel prophesied that David would be king, but he did so in secret. Right now. If you're a Navi and you're in charge of, appointing and anointing the next king, but nobody knows that you did it, so that's not worth too much for David, because, the Navi appointed me king, Right, sure he did, right? Like, that's what everyone says. So Shmuel has to publicize, as the recognized prophet of the time, he has to publicize this. So if he saw his days were coming to an end, he knew he was going to die. So he announced it. He let people know. Now that it's like more official, so now David is again concerned for his life and on the run again from Shaul, even though it looked like they made up. But now that it's public news that he's been anointed, so that's why David is fearful again that Shaul is going to hunt him down. That's what the Malbim says over here. So what does David do? Vayakam David, vayered el, end of that first pasuk says, vayered el midbar paran. David got up, and he went to Midbar Paran. Now, Nabal, as we're going to see, is going at the same time to shear his sheep, which is apparently a big, when you have a big flock like that, what was it, 3,000 sheep, so the shearing of the sheep is a major event, and it's accompanied by great parties, great celebration, a lot of food, etc. So the Medrash contrasts Nabal's behavior right now with that of David. The Medrash understands that David first went to be part of this delegation, part of this hesped eulogizing of Shmuel, and then he sort of put himself out there, so then he ran away and hid again. But he sort of risked himself, Mesiras Nefesh, to properly honor Shmuel. Nabal, on the other hand, doesn't even show up. Nabal just goes to, he's just going to do his thing, to shear a sheep, to make a celebration. So the Medrash contrasts this, points this out. It says that We have this juxtaposition. We have that it says in Shmuel Daig, and then we have, oh, and there was a man named Naval, and he was in Sigi Ma'on, and he went to shear a sheep. So the Medrash says, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Hakol Tzavachin V'Topchim Al Misaso Shel Tzadik. Everybody is crying out and sad over the death of the Tzadik Shmuel. V'Harasha Azeh Yoshev V'Osem Arzichin. And this, Rasha, he's making parties. He's making celebrations, etc. So we already off the bat, Naval's behavior is less than honorable. Just without having done anything, just the fact that he's making a celebration now, already it's not the time for this type of behavior. Okay, so now let's find out now a bit more about Naval. So let's look at Pasuk Beis a bit more closely. V'ish b'ma'on u'ma'aseyo b'karmel. So most of the Mefarshim say that Ma'on was a city, and they point out that it was in Shevet Yehuda. Now the significance of it being in Shevet Yehuda is that David is from Yehuda. So this is, this is like family. David in general, we've seen up till now, the lands of Yehuda have been somewhat of a haven for David. And so if he's safe anywhere, it's in Yehuda. So he's happy to involve himself to lean on people from his own tribe. And others learn that Ma'on actually is like just like a expressing how great of a, it's like a palace. A Ma'on is an abode, but like he had a serious palace, a serious home. But his work wasn't near there. He had his nice, beautiful mansion, and then his work was in Carmel. That's where he kept his flocks. Very successful guy. And Gadol Ma'od, as we said, he was very rich. V'lo tzon shloshes alafim v'alaf izim, he had 3,000 sheep, 1,000 goats. V'yihi b'gzozes tzono b'karmel. And it was when he was shearing his sheep in Carmel. What was? Doesn't really say what was. Rashi just says it was one day that he was doing this, and he was making a celebration, and that's just the introduction to the story. V'shema ish Naval, v'shema ishto Abigail. His name was Naval, and his wife was Abigail. Now, Naval means, like, disgusting, right, by definition. And we'll see later, the Abigail is going to tell David, Kishmo Kain Hu. He is like what his name is. He is a bad guy. Whether that was, his birth name or that's just what people called him, she's saying that's why, there's a reason why he's called that. V'yisha tova sechel, v'yifas toar. The woman, Abigail, was very wise and beautiful. V'yish kashe, and as opposed to her husband, he was hardened. V'ram alolim, he had bad deeds. V'hu chalibi. Or Chalibo, it's a kriuksiv. And he was, hard word to define, most Mepharshim learn that it means he was a descendant of Kalev ben Yefune, from the tribe of Yehuda. He was a descendant of Kalev. What's the significance of being a descendant of Kalev? So it's good yichus in the first place to be from Kalev.
Maybe it explains why they got married. On the surface, he looks like he comes from a good place and everything, but he isn't.
Right. Good. So
explain why he married such a good person.
Right. How he got such a good shidduch. Yeah, it could be. So one idea that I saw is that they bring from the Chidah that, the name Kalev also, what is Kalev? So it's like Kalev, right? It's like dog. It's not exactly the most complimentary name, right? So, but yet, Kalev was a great tzaddik. So David thought, even though this guy's name is Naval, But he's just like his ancestor Caliph. It's not like the greatest name, but that doesn't mean that he's such a bad guy. Maybe he could be a tzaddik like Caliph.
Anybody say like his real name or his real name? What is his merit?
Colin,
such a name.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure if it was his real name or if it was just what people called him because of what he, you know, the way he behaved. Actually just saw something on this week's Parsha. I'm trying to remember what it had to do with this week's Parsha, but that there's an instrument called a Nevel. A Nevel v'chino, right? We say in Halub, a Nevel v'chino. A Nevel, I think, is translated as a liar, I think. L-Y-R-E. I don't know exactly what it is, but there's a Yerushalmi. A small harp, okay. So the Yerushalmi says, why is it called a Nevel? And it says because it makes all the other instruments white, meaning it embarrasses all the other instruments. So someone asks, so then it should be called, like, and that already is an interesting interpretation, because it's not called a Lavan, right? It's the same letters, Lavan and Naval, and or Lavan and white, and Nevel, is the name of the instrument, the same letters. But, so one of the Farshim says that it should really, grammatically, if it makes all the other ones, if it embarrasses all the other ones, so if anything, it should be Minavel. You know, to actively be Nevel means like it is disgusting. It is embarrassed. So whoever I saw, he said that the idea is that when you hurt others, so you become Nevel, you become disgusting. So even though it's
becoming arrogant.
What?
The liar was becoming arrogant because it was.
That's the lesson in the name. That's the lesson in the name. So Nevel also. So even though you know he Nevel was the way that he treated other. He was Minavel other people. He didn't treat other people properly. But that, you know, who's the one who as a result becomes, you know, Minuval, who becomes disgusting as well? It's the person themselves. So, fine. So that was his name. His name was Nevel, and his wife. He had to write this great shidduch. His wife was Tova Seichel, V'yafas Tovar. Now, there is a little bit of a debate here in the Mefarshim whether he was already Nevel, whether he was already bad, or his bad action sort of surfaced over here. The Radak says, you know, he was called this, when the pasuk says that he was kasha, v'rama alalim, he was hard and he was of bad actions, it's telling you about the future. It's saying he will, we're going to see that emerging him. But the Malbim says, no, that was who he was. That's not a new thing. The Malbim says, sort of from his name, people knew that he was a bad guy, and this was a part of it. And again, we have this last description of him, which is Vahu Chalibi. He was from descendant of Kalev. But other Mefarshim say, no, it doesn't have nothing to do with Kalev. It's saying he was like a dog. He was stingy. He was like a Kalev. And maybe there's a Kriyuk Siv here trying to bring out that idea that he was from Kalev and he was also like a dog. also, it says with a Vav, Chalibo, he was like his heart, really. And so the Radak says he was Libora. He had a bad heart. Some people, he says, have bad deeds, but a good heart. Or some people have a good heart and bad deeds, but he had both. He was rotten to the core.
Contradictory implications to the dog and the dog metaphor. I heard it from the same rabbi. He said the leaders of Israel were called like dogs because they run in front of the people. So maybe that's how they the connection with Khalid. But then the same instructor a few weeks later said, Amalek is like a dog because he's snapping at the goat and chasing after the heels of the Israelites. So I never asked him how he coincided with the canine inference. But that could be why they. For Khaled, it could be positive. For somebody else, it could be negative.
Okay. Pasuk Dalet. Vayishma David Bamidbar. And David heard in the desert. Ki gozes novelist Sono. He heard that Novel was shearing his sheep. Vayishlach David Asara Naarim. And David sent 10 lads. Vayomer David Lanaarim. And David said to the lads, Alu Charmela. Go up to Carmel, uvasem el Navo, and come to Navo, usheeltem lo vishmi l'shalom, and ask him on my behalf, greet him in peace. And David says, you know, Navo is shearing his sheep. He's going to be in a good mood, right? This is when you kind of see all your riches, and you're in a generous mood, and you make parties. So David invites him. David sends his men to. David sends his men. We're in Perek Chafhei. David sends his men to. I think the first section has it. Yeah, there you go. David sends his men to ask Novel for something. Go greet him in peace. Pasuk Vav, va'amartem ko lechai, and you should say. Interesting words here. Ko lechai. Not clear exactly what it means. Ko means like here. Lechai means like for life. Rashi says it's a bracha. It's like you. It should be this way for next year. Give him a bracha. Go to Naval and say, you know, you should have this for life, just like you're having such a big flock to shear this year. You should have the same for next year. Ve'ata shalom, and you should be at peace. Uveischa shalom, and your house should be at peace. Lechol asher lecha shalom, and everything that you have should be at peace, should be peaceful, should be good. Give him a nice bracha. You know, butter him up a little bit before you ask him for anything. And that's just Derek Harris, right? Before, if you want to, you know, as any fundraiser knows, you have to be nice first. You can't just go in and ask for something. You have to first make conversation, give them a bracha, and then... And then you go in with your request.
10 guys?
He sent 10 men.
10 guys. I mean, what if he sent 2 fundraisers?
Yeah, I'm not sure why he needed to send 10.
It doesn't sound that, you know.
Right, I mean, David does have a large force with him, you know, like 400 men, so it could be he just needs enough people to be able to bring back enough food. On the other hand, right, he is asking for, you know, quite a bit here. So he says, V'ata shamati ki gozes imlach, ata haroim asher lecha, he goes imlach. I've heard, tell them, again, David is telling his messengers, when you go to Novel, tell him, I heard that you are shearing, ata haroim asher lecha hayu imanu. You should know, David, the messengers are supposed to tell Novel. You just showed up on the scene right now, but you should know that your shepherds have been out in the fields. Who do you think has been protecting them for the last while? Me and my men. We've been providing protection for them. Lo hechlamnum. We didn't. Rashi says we didn't. We didn't turn them down for anything if they asked us for anything. Vilgo nifgad lahem u'uma, and we didn't allow anything to happen to them. We protected them. Kol yemei hayosa makarmel. The whole time that they were in Carmel, we have been providing protection. So some of Farshim say they're actually, David actually has a monetary claim on Novel. It's not just that I'm asking for tzedakah, you actually owe us money because we provided protection and help to your shepherds. Then he says, Pasuk Ches, She'ares ne'arecha v'yagidu lach. Ask your lads, ask your shepherds, and they will tell you. V'yimtu ana'arim cheng be'enecha. And the lads will find favor in your eyes. Seemingly this is David's lads now. My messenger should find favor in your eyes. Ki al yom tov banu. Because we've come for a Yom Tov. Which Yom Tov have they come for? So simply understood, it means, you know, you're making a Yom Tov. We timed this carefully. We won't request from you, you know, food at a random time. But right now, you are making your great celebration over the shearing of your sheep. So we've come on a Yom Tov. So now's the time for us to ask. Rashi actually brings down a different idea from the Medrash that it was Rosh Hashanah. It was Erev Rosh Hashanah, and they were saying, we need food for Rosh Hashanah. This idea is corroborated by the Gemara. The Gemara tells us that after Naval turned David down, he basically had 10 days to do teshuvah, the Aseres Yemei teshuvah, and he didn't, and he died on Yom Kippur. That's what the Gemara says. So which would make this Erev Rosh Hashanah when they come and make the request. Tinana Esa Shir Timsa Yadcha Lavodecha. Please give us that which you are able to for your servants, Uvevincha Ludavid, and to your son, to David. Not really his son, but I guess Novel may have been a little bit older, same tribe. So give it for David. That was David's message for Novel. What does Novel do? Vayavo nare David, vayidabru el Novel kichlad vori ma'ila b'shem David, vayanuch. The lads come, and they speak all of these words, the whole message to Novel in the name of David. And then they stop, that's all. They say their part, and they don't say anything else. Vayanuchu, they rest. Right? That's one understanding of they rest, is that they stopped saying, they said their part, and then they listened. Other Farshim say that, no, they Vayanuchu means they rested, meaning they had traveled so much, they went straight. David said, go do this. They went straight. They didn't stop until they got to Novel. And then they rested. After they had completed their mission, then they rested. Pasuk Yod Vayan Naval es Avde David Vayomer. And Naval answered the servants of David, and he said, Me David, Mi Veng Yishai, who is this David, who is this son of Yishai? Hayom Rabu Avadim Hamispartzim Ish Mipnei Adonav. Nowadays there are so many servants who try to break through against their masters. Meaning, you know, this is just another case where you have a king, you know, Shaul, and somebody's trying to, you know, to replace him. And this happens all the time, he says. The servants are always trying to replace the masters, and David's just another young upstart, and I'm not giving David anything. I don't think he's anything too great. Rashi says something here, which is important. Another way to look at this. Rashi says, on me, David, who's this David? Says Naval. According to Rashi, Mao Chashav She'etein Oeshali. What is he worth that I should give him anything? Hallo Meirus Hamoavia Ba. He's a descendant of Rus. He's a descendant of a Moabite. So why should I give him anything? So this is one of the primary challenges to David in general, to his ability to become king, is does he come from, you know, a kosher lineage? Right? We've talked about this in the past. We'll probably talk about it again. That David is a descendant of Rus. The Torah says, Lo yavo amoni u'moavi b'kal Hashem. And amoni and amoavi is not allowed to marry into the Jewish people. And some understand that means whether it's a male or whether it's a female. And Rus was never allowed to marry Boaz. And David is a descendant of a bad lineage, of an illegal marriage. And others say, and this was what Shmuel HaNavi paskin, and this is what David held, and this is ultimately the halacha, is no, it's Moavi v'lo Moavis. The Torah says you can't marry a Moavi, but you are allowed to marry a Moavis, a female Moavite, and that's why Boaz was allowed to marry Rus, and David is from kosher lineage, and everything's fine. But Novel, again, once again, is challenging this. This is a thorn sort of in David's history, although it serves him well too, obviously, to be a descendant of Rus. But it's a challenge to his rights, and so according to this, it seems that Novel is fully aware that David was anointed and you know, potentially could be king, but he's saying, I reject that because he's from Rus, so I respect him. He continues and he says, Pasuk Yigalef, V'lokachti es lachmi ves meimai ve'es tivchasi, I should take my bread and my water and my meat, Asher Tavachti Lugozazai, that I shechted for my shepherds, my shearers, Vinasati Lanashim Asher Lo Yadati, Amy Zahim, I should give it to people that I don't know where they're from. I should just give it away. No way, get out of here, I'm not helping you. Now we have to recognize it. This is not because he can't afford it. He has plenty of food, but he's not interested in helping. He doesn't like David. He doesn't want to share, and he sends them packing. They don't say anything. They leave. Pasuk Yabez vayahafku nari David ledarkam, and the lads, the messengers of David, they turn around and they leave. Vayashuvu vayavou, and they return to David, and they come vayagidulo kichlad varim ha'ila, and they tell him everything that happened. David is not happy. Vayomer David la'anashav, and David says to his men, Chigru ishes charbo, each man should gird his sword. Vayachgru ishes charbo, and they gird their swords. Vayachgur gam David is charbo, and David also does the same. Vayalu achrei David, and they went after David, ka'arba meos ish, about 400 men, umasayim yoshva al-kelim, and 200 stood on the kelim, but waited by their, you know, to guard their possessions, their camp, etc.
What is David's status as king right now?
So David has been anointed, but he's not, right, it's a hard question to answer, meaning Shaul is still the king. David still recognizes Shaul as king, but he knows that he's the successor. It is a question, does he have a status as king halachically? And that's a major question over here, because the question is Novel being married the Malchus? Is he rebelling against the king by denying David this, which is the question, you know, which is basically a major question, because married the Malchus is Chayav Misa, can be killed. And this is going to be the grounds that David has to kill Novel. And that's going to be part of the question here. Now,
taken over, yes.
Right.
So,
yeah, so we're going to see that's part of Abigail's claim to David is going to be that you're still not, you know, you're not known yet as king. It's not official, right. So, but that's a very much a central question in this story, is this considered being married the Malchus or not? Now, okay, so David is having a strong response.
Because in Shaul, when he was anointed, he wasn't officially become king until he was accepted by the people.
He had a status of king, you know. He halachically, you're right, it wasn't the same, it wasn't meant to last. There's, right, but he certainly, you know, there was the halachos of Morid B'malchus would apply to Shaul. He was a real king.
Because if he supported David, he afraid he will be married against Saul, so it's very difficult.
Right, right. So we'll see, though. Right. So that's part of the question here. Is David is now arming himself with 400 men? He's seemingly going to go. His plan, at least, seems to be to go and kill Neville for this. And part of the question is why is he having such a strong response? You know, Neville's probably not the first person to turn David down. Like you said, if you help David, you're rebelling against Shaul. That's risky business. And maybe you're Morid B'Malchus on that side of things. So why is David's response to Neville so strong here?
And it happens to multiple times enough that there's two people who claim the throne at the same time, and they're both bringing their armies or people towards the other one, to kill the other one.
But he actually did his something. He protected his sheep and his possession.
So you're saying maybe he has a monetary claim here. You owe me for this, right? I protected you. I provided protection. Yeah, it could be. But I don't know if he would kill me for that. Right?
Yeah, it's kind of true.
So let's understand a little bit more about Neville. So the Be'er Moshe, Sefer there I saw quoted, so he has a lot of discussion over here, and at first he sets the tone, exactly who, what, you know, how bad was this Neville character?
Well, he may hope that he will show strength, so he doesn't actually have to do anything, and he will just pray, and nothing will happen.
Who may hope what? Neville.
Well, David will show strength, and...
Oh, you mean he, like, threaten him, and... Yeah, it could be. I think we'll see that it may be obvious from the psukim that David was looking to kill him. You know, Abigail sort of begs him not to, as we'll see. So David, it looks like he's planning to kill Neville. So first of all, let's just understand who Neville was a little bit. Neville, from the setting, right, we already pointed out that this was a time of celebration for Neville. David timed this right, because he's only asking Neville because Neville is now celebrating his shearing, you know, time, and there's lots of, the normal thing to do when you have your shearing season is to make a big party, and Neville is going to make a big party. The Pasuk we'll talk about it later. And that's a time when people are generally generous, and they invite extra guests, etc. But Neville doesn't do that, right? Neville, even though he's gadol, he's very rich. He has tons of sheep. And if you look carefully at the pasuk, if you go back to pasuk Beis, it says v'lo tzon shloshes alafim ve'alafim. He had all the sheep. It was his, right? But he wasn't sharing it. But he bigzos its son of a karma. And the timing of this is when he's shearing his sheep, and yet he's still holding back. There's a pasuk in Tehillim in Parak Yadalin. It says, "Amar Neville belibo ein Elokim." Neville said in his heart, "There is no God." Now, I think most Mefarshim learned that chapter of Tehillim. I was just looking now, like Rashi and Ibn Ezra, or other Mitzvahs David, probably based on Chazal, that's actually not talking about this novel. It's talking about Nebuchadnezzar there. But some Mefarshim say, no, it's talking about novel. Could be talking about both. But novel sagging his heart, Eng Elohim, there's no God. Where do we see that he says in his heart, there's no God? Because he's not somebody who's stingy. Tsar Ayin is a kofer be'ikr. He's a denier of God. The way the Medrash says it, actually, it says ka kofer gemilus chasadim ki u kofer be'ikr. In Medrash, is actually talking about David did so much for him, right? He helped his men guarded Neville's shepherds and assisted them, and Neville just denies that, right? If a person can't have appreciation for what other people do for them, then that person also won't have appreciation for what God does for them. If you lack that midah, that will lead you to be kofer bikr. You'll just deny God's involvement. A person will deny God's involvement in his life if he doesn't have that midah of Hakar Satov, of appreciation. And clearly that's novel. He's not, somebody who has Hakar Satov recognizes, oh, this is from Hashem, so then they're generous with what they have. But novel is the opposite. He's not generous at all. He won't share anything. And this is really the midah of Bilam, right? The Mishnah in Avos, it says that a person who has the midos of Ayin Tova, right? They have a good eye. Like you don't may not have much, but you're happy with what you have, and Ruach Nemucha is like a low spirit. But here the Mefarshim say it means that you're careful about what you intake, etc. And nefesh shvala, and you have humility. So then you're a talmid of Shal Avram Avinu. Then that you're a talmid of Avram Avinu. But if you have an ayin ra, you have a bad eye, you're not happy with what you have. You have ruach kevoa, and you're haughty, and nefesh rechava, and I guess you're involved in taivos, you chase after desires. So then you're mitalmid of Shel Bilam Arasha. You're a talmid of Bilam. What's in that? That's novel. He's not, you know, he has a lot, but he's not, so he doesn't seem to be so happy with it. He's not willing to share it. He's stingy, etc. And what's interesting is the Arizal says that novel was a Gilgal of Bilam and Lavan. Right? Lavan, the connection between Lavan and Bilam, I think, is a little bit more famous. That Lavan and Bilam were the same person, or Bilam was a Gilgal of Lavan. And Naval, by the way, is the same letters as Lavan, as I mentioned earlier. And Bilam, the first two letters are also from that same letters, Beis and Lamed. And in fact, there's a remez. There's a hint to this because the pasuk says in Tazria, Kulo hafach lavan tarhu. It's talking about Tsaras there, but it says it all switched around to lavan. Talking about Tsaras, it all switched to lavan. So it says, so I guess the Arizal says that's hinting to the idea that when Bilam became a Gilgal of Lavan, so it wasn't complete, because it was only the Beis and the Lamed there. The Nun wasn't in Bilam. You have Lavan, but you have the Beis and Lamed, but you don't have the Nun. But when he was Niskalgel in Naval, so then it was, that somehow completed his Tikkun. I won't get into what that means, but then it was Kulo Hafach Lavan. Then the whole name of Lavan was now switched, and now you have Naval. That was somehow the completion of this, of the Gilgal of this neshama. Anyways, my point is that we see that Naval had the midos of Bilam Harasha, being stingy.
The third chance. He did the same thing again.
Right. And this is also the idea of he was like a caliph, he was like a dog. The Gemara says somebody is quoted in the Gemara in the Darim, he says, I'm not a dog that I would benefit from you and you not benefit from me. That's what a dog does. A dog just eats, doesn't share, it just benefits from others. He says, I'm not a dog. But if Naval had the midah of a dog, that's the midah of being stingy, of not sharing, of just taking. And so that's why he is described as a caliph. Okay. So that's first of all Novel's character. And I think we're gonna have to save exactly for next week why David's response to Novel. That's how we'll have to start next week. Why was David's response to Novel so strong? What was he concerned about? There's something that seems to be something more going on here. That Novel says, no, you know, I'm denying you food, and all of a sudden David is coming after him with his army. We'll have to wait till next week to explore that.
Thank you.
Just, I want you to remember. We'll have a